from stpetecatalyst.com.
Hello and welcome once again to Arts Alive, the podcast of the St. Pete Catalyst. My name is Bill DeYoung. Today our guest is Craig Pittman. Hello, Craig.
Howdy.
He is a journalist and an author and a very funny guy. He probably does baton twirling and fire eating and all sorts of things. Alligator wrestling, maybe. And there's lots to talk about today with Mr. Pittman. I did want to start with talking about the Welcome to Florida podcast because, you know, as you know, we run it on the St. Pete Catalyst site, and St. Pete Radio does. They're right across the hall from us here. But it just occurred to me the other day, and either listening to it or reading something, that the initials are WTF.
That was on purpose.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if it was.
That was on purpose.
What I think is so cool about it, Craig, is you have such a great resume as an environmental reporter, and some of the writing you still do, I guess, for Florida Phoenix is environmental in nature.
Once a week.
So I think what's very impressive for me is that you're almost at 200 episodes now. You're very, very close.
Yeah.
And it's not just about Florida Man and all the wacky stuff that goes on. You have some very serious people on there.
Yeah. Yeah. We try and have a mix of, you know, fun stuff, serious stuff. You know, and the conceit of it is 900 new people move to Florida every day, and most of them have no idea what they're getting into. So we try and help them out. So, you know, we interviewed a python hunter. We interviewed a gator wrangler.
Oh, yeah.
We interviewed an expert on roaches that I went around scratching my head for about 2 hours after that one was over and checking my ears. We talked to a shark biologist about why Florida has, you know, we have more people bitten by sharks in Florida than anywhere else in the world.
What did he say or she say? What did the shark biologist say?
He said basically there are lots of sharks in the water and lots of people in the water in Florida and, you know.
That's the combination.
Exactly.
But you had like the Charlie Johns thing.
Yes, and the Johns Committee.
And the Johns Committee,
which is just an amazing episode in Florida history that I had been wanting to talk about since the beginning. We finally got a terrific author to come on and talk about it because she wrote what I think is the definitive book on it, which is called Communists and Perverts Under the Palms.
Right.
Which is a great title.
Well, I, of course, was familiar with Governor Johns because he was governor very briefly because he happened to be up in Tallahassee when the Skyway Bridge fell was built in 1954.
Oh, yeah.
So he was the one that sort of presided over the bridge's opening. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I know this guy. Boy, he was a real bastard, wasn't he? And then I listened to your thing.
Well, today, though.
Yeah, he'd fit in perfectly today.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you, as far as finding material, is this – like for me, I have the luxury of being able to write about things in this vintage series I do. Something will cross the transom, as they say in journalism, mm-hmm. and I'll go, wow, that's neat. I want to find out more about that. Is it literally the same way with you?
We've been doing it for 4 years. Like you said, we're nowhere near running out of Florida stories to tell.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and there's some that I've been wanting to tell for a while, and I'm just finally finding the right person to tell it, you know, because that's always the challenge.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and some of them just pop up, like the University Press will publish a book about, you know, Janet Reno or something like that.
Yeah,
and
right.
We'll jump on that.
That was last week.
That was just last week.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, there's just these great things. I'm looking now for an expert on Hi Li. I think Hi Li would make a great podcast.
That's kind of on my short list, too.
Exactly.
I bet you'll get there before I will. You know, I've been fortunate that, and let's make this about me, huh? that I don't really write a lot about Tampa or Hillsborough County as far as the historical stuff. And I'm sure there's a million stories in the Naked City. I'm sure there's all kinds of
stuff. Or a
million
naked people in the Naked City.
Well, you know, I've heard about Tampa in the 50s. You know, the twist, as you know, was written there.
Yes.
Did you do one on that, on Hank
No,
Allen?
We have not, but we may have you back on to talk about that.
Well, you need to talk to
John Capoya.
John.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah.
I hope you're listening, John. I hope you're doing well. I think he and Susan moved to New York. I don't think they live here anymore.
I'm not sure where they are.
But I see them on Facebook all the time.
Yeah.
Capoy is the man.
Yeah.
Have you had him on?
Yes, we had him on very early on to talk about Florida Soul.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. And we got to use some music clips with that one, just like we recently did one on Tom Petty, and I think we had some music clips.
Yeah,
that
was a good one. You know, that was a big part of my sort of early education in journalism because I was in Gainesville for so long. And
mm-hmm.
actually, they were already famous, but I ended up writing about them a lot. Let's talk about me. I'm doing it again.
How do you feel, Bill? How do you feel about
right
that?
Now, like an idiot. Okay. Okay. So what's on the sort of bucket list, I guess, for Welcome to Florida. I mean, give me some ideas of things that you mentioned High Line.
Yeah, I'd love to do one on High Line. We're doing one this week on Florida and the Civil War, which I think is a very current topic. Even though it's historical, you know, we got legislation to try and protect Confederate monuments in this current legislature. So obviously the Civil War is, as William Faulkner said, it's the dead past isn't dead. It's not even past.
The Battle of Alusty up there near Lake City, that was a huge thing during my years in Gainesville.
I'm sure.
These reenactments were like the battle had like 100 men in it, and the reenactments were like 6,000.
Yeah, exactly.
it was cool. We took the kids up to watch, you know, a couple of times and,
I took my kids on we were on a scout camp out. We went to the Brooksville Raid reenactment.
Mm.
And beforehand, I explained to my kids, let me tell you why we're rooting for the visitors and not the home team here.
let me jump the shark here, Fonzie, because you mentioned the Florida legislature.
Yeah.
And I mean,
a great source of comedy.
That's where I'm going here. And I mean, even the stuff you write in the Phoenix, you know, you find there's so much absurdity.
Oh, yeah.
In the way it goes. I've used this question with you before, but is that like shooting fish in a barrel?
Oh, it's like shooting fish in a thimble, man. You can't miss. My favorite headline so far in this legislative session is, Florida legislature votes to lower age for buying guns but raise age for stripping, which I think really kind of sums up everything that's going on in Florida right now.
Is that just a sort of a Florida kind of thing, or are there other places in this country that are as insane as that?
I think we stand above all others. We stoop to lower the bar, as it were. I mean, bear in mind, this is the legislature that suddenly realized a few years ago, oh, we haven't actually outlawed bestiality. We need to do that now.
Oh, get that one on the books. Wow.
Yeah.
So,
And then accidentally outlawed all sex. So they had to back off and do it over.
unless you're a Republican. No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. No. I mean, it is easy, isn't it? And it's nice to be able to Well, let's say it this way. It's nice to be able to live in a free country where one can criticize the government.
Yes.
You know, through media.
Thank God for the First Amendment.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Let's talk about – you worked for the Tampa Bay Times for what, 31 years?
30 years, yeah.
30 years. Okay. Yeah. Were you strictly an environmental writer?
No. I actually started out in a bureau of a bureau. I was in Palm Harbor, which was a subset of Clearwater. And I spent 5 years there covering northern Pinellas County. And then Hurricane Andrew came along, and I got sent to help out with covering Hurricane Andrew. And I actually benefited from the disaster because they said, oh, he's okay. We should put him on a beat downtown instead of in a bureau. And so they assigned me to cover criminal courts, criminal courts is like getting tickets to all the best shows on Broadway. I mean, not so much the musicals, but lots of trauma, lots of comedy. It was great.
Talking Pinellas County here.
Yes, Pinellas County criminal court. One of the cases I covered was a bigamist who, you know, his defense was, I forgot I was married. And it worked.
Why does that not surprise me? Well, so let me go back a minute, though. I don't normally stutter. Palm Harbor.
Yes.
So it's not that he's going to commission meetings.
No.
The wastewater is going to be treated.
Palm Harbor's unincorporated, so there was no city government to cover. But I covered Oldsmar, and I covered East Lake, which is unincorporated, which was a real challenge. There were some great stories up there. We did one story on this one really stands out in my memory, where the middle school allowed everybody who wanted to be a cheerleader could be a cheerleader. So they wound up with a squad of like 60 kids. And so there was some difficulty with the choreography, as you might guess.
Female and male choreography? Well, good for them.
Yeah, it was like, you know, you want to be in, you're in.
I'm guessing it didn't quite work out, though.
Well, there were some rough patches, let's put it that way. But, I mean, the kids were enthusiastic, I have to say that.
So what period is it when you were covering the courts in I guess, St. Pete and Clearwater and that? What time period are we talking about?
Well, I covered the Oba Chandler trial, for instance, you know.
Right.
I covered a serial killer, a guy named James Randall, you know, who winked at me during the trial, which I will never forget about. You know, and but I also covered some more unusual stuff. I did one on a con man, a serial con man, who among his victims, he actually had victimized a judge. Not a Pinellas judge. It was a judge up in Georgia who had agreed to marry him and his longtime girlfriend.
Wow.
Who he was marrying her to make sure she couldn't testify against him. And in doing so, he committed three crimes at once. Number one, he paid the judge with a fake check. And I don't just mean a check that was drawn on an account that didn't exist. He paid him with a check he had actually hand-drawn.
I hope this is one of your books.
And, yeah, yeah. And well, it is. It's in The State You're In, the last one that came out in 2021. So he paid the judge with a fake check drawn on an account that didn't exist, and he didn't mention to the judge, oh, by the way, I'm already married.
Goodness.
He was a bold con man.
you know Pete Gallagher?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Pete, when I was writing the story, here's me again, folks. When I was writing the story about John 3:16 Cook, the original St. Petersburg con man,
you know,
Pete covered all the various trials and tribulations of John 3:16, mm-hmm. and he attacked him in the men's room of the courtroom.
Oh, my Lord.
And Pete has these unbelievable stories. And that's the kind of thing – being in journalism, I don't write the same kind of stuff that you were doing, but you kind of look forward to getting out of bed every day.
Yeah.
Right? Like, what's going to happen this time?
Especially in Florida, you know, because you never know. A guy punched a swan today. Oh, okay. All right. That's an interesting story.
Well, even what I'm saying is going to the courts, though.
Yes.
You know, I mean, a lot of it is humdrum and, you know, it's this, that, and the other. But, but you know, sometimes I was thinking about this today because I knew we were going to talk today. And I was thinking about, you know, that feeling when you get out of bed and you get your cup of coffee and then it dawns on you. I don't really know what's coming today.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, at least with court, that's true with cops. With courts, you kind of know.
Well, I don't know.
You know what trials are coming up and that kind of stuff.
What's going to happen?
Yeah, but I mean, like, I covered the trial of, do you remember this? Michael Diana, the guy who, he's the first cartoonist to ever be jailed for obscenity in America. He's a skinny Largo kid with stringy hair, and he drew these hand-drawn comic books called Boiled Angel that was full of all kinds of revolting imagery. And the cops started looking at him because they thought he was somehow connected to the murders in Gainesville that they wound up convicting Danny Rowling of.
I was there when that happened.
Yeah, and so – because it's about you. And then, right. And so they wound up
– I'm editing all these parts out.
They wound up under false pretenses getting him to sell them a couple of copies of his magazine, and then they charged him with obscenity. And
did he ever get charged? Like he was, he definitely like a person of interest in the Gainesville thing?
Yeah, that's why they first started looking at him, and it's just amazing to me. And he wound up serving time in jail, in the Pinellas County Jail, you know, for drawing dirty pictures. And as he kept pointing out, it's just ink on a page. It's not real images.
Isn't
it's that, not stuff that really happened.
Isn't that First Amendment?
Yeah, exactly. And so. And he was defended by Luke Laroe, who's famous as the strip club lawyer, because he worked for Joe Redner. So it was quite a cast of characters involved.
So when did you become an environmental guy? Did that just editor?
When my first kid was born. You know, I'm hanging out with juries that are deadlocked and they're still out at 2 a.m. And my wife said, you can't keep doing that once we have kids.
Oh, yeah.
And so fortunately, our environmental beat reporter moved on. And so that job opened up, and it was one I'd wanted right from the start. Because honestly, covering the environment in Florida is the greatest beat in American journalism. I mean, A, they have to pay you to go out and ride around on a boat now and again.
Yeah.
But B, you know, you wind up writing about alligators fighting pythons in the Everglades, and
I remember that story.
And a religious cult that smuggled giant African land snails into South Florida, and they just spread all over the place. And the reason they smuggled them in—this is my favorite part—the reason they smuggled them in is because they thought drinking the snail mucus would make you healthy. It actually had the opposite effect.
Are you sure you're not making this stuff up?
No. Baron Carl Hyacin says every time he makes up the most outlandish thing he can think of, it shows up in the paper the next day.
Yeah. So you get on the environmental beat, I guess. We'll say that. Yeah. It sounds like a jazz album, I think. But isn't there also this notion of like, I'm doing good work here? Because you're native Floridian.
Yes. And a lot of people in Florida, especially natives, I think, really care about our state and care about what's going to happen to the parts of our state that make us unique. Yeah. And, you know, as far back as my revelation on this came from John D. McDonald. Mm-hmm. You know, I grew up in a family where everybody reads murder mysteries. My grandfather was a big fan of Perry Mason. My mom loved Agatha Christie, and mm-hmm. I was reading, you know, Encyclopedia Brown and Sherlock Holmes. And my my great aunt calls me in one day, takes a big drag on her palm all. I think you're ready for Travis McGee now. Right. She hands me this paperback book with this scantily clad woman on the cover. You know, I'm 14. Yes, ma'am, I'm definitely ready for that. Well, I wasn't. I wasn't ready for the kind of writing that McDonald did, which was this very discursive, you know, way of approaching the plot and approaching the characters and basically railing against what he kept calling the fast buck artists who were out to ruin Florida. Mm-hmm. And he taught me that, you know, Florida tends to be a sunny place full of shady people. And a lot of them are looking to make money off of ruining it for the rest of us.
Well, what's so interesting is, I mean, Hyacin knows that too. But, oh, yeah. I mean, your writing in Hyacin's are very different.
Yeah.
You know,
he makes it up.
That's true. But, as he says, you know, all this crap happens all the time anyway.
Yeah. Oh,
you just write about it and the next day it's in the papers. You say, your first book is Paving Paradise.
Yes.
With Matthew Waite.
Yes.
Matthew Waite. So tell me what that's about. It's about the wetlands.
It's about wetlands. We had done this big series, and then we did another one 2 years later about how Florida has more wetlands than any state except Alaska, and yet we were also the state that allowed more wetlands destruction than any other state. Mm-hmm. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers was basically given out permits the way, you know, the way they toss beads off the Gasparilla floats. Mm. We actually managed to get the data to show where they were destroying the wetlands and what was happening to them. And Matt, who is this great data analyst, he used satellite imagery analysis to figure out exactly how many acres of wetlands were gone in just this time period. And we asked the Corps about it, and they were like, yeah, we'd love to keep track of that stuff, but we're just too busy issuing more permits.
So every time you do something like that, though, it's like, it's amazing how they're killing this state, but my God, it's so friggin' weird.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like,
oh, yeah,
you couldn't make it up.
Our best source on this was the head of the Corps of Engineers office in Jacksonville, basically the guy who was signing all these permits. And he was very proud of how they did it and what they did and everything. And, you know, our series comes out and we interviewed him like 7 times and he, you know, he was telling us everything. And then the stories come out and he goes, I had no idea that you were going to depict me this way. And we're like, well, what did you think?
Yeah. you did say these things. Yeah. You've written about manatees and you've written about panthers.
Yes.
Very endangered and or threatened. And
the panther book was one I'd wanted to do for 25 years because it's just such a great story.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, they're the state animal courtesy of a vote of school children. Florida school children picked them as our state animal. And so the legislature ratified that after some grousing about why wasn't it the gator? And then they nearly went extinct. In 1995, we were down to just 20. There were 20 mm-hmm. of them left, and they had all these genetic defects because there was lots of inbreeding.
Right.
And this sort of ragtag group of biologists and veterinarians got together and said, what can we do? And so they did what I compare to a Hail Mary pass, which is they brought in
– mountain lions.
Cougars from Texas.
Yeah.
It's close – like a close cousin and crossbred, and it worked, and we had this baby boom. As a result, we got like 200 of them now.
Isn't it? You know, I think about that sometimes. I've heard that, and doesn't that mean they're not pure anymore?
No, they've done 2 separate genetic testing routines on it, and basically they were close enough as a species that it didn't change them at all. And they only brought in 8 8 female cougars.
Oh.
And I should emphasize the animal kind, not the kind that was in Cougar Town, that TV show.
Sex and the City.
But, and I have to say that the guy who brought them in from Texas was this great grizzled old cowboy named Roy McBride. He's the kind of character you couldn't invent. I mean, he's just this wonderful character and very laconic, always wears his white Stetson. And I got to the point of writing the book where I was like, how did he round up the 8 Texas Cougars to bring to Florida? And how did he bring them here? Because it wasn't in any of the reports I'd seen. So I called Roy up, and he was living in Okeechobee at that point in a trailer. So but the phone rang like 20 times, and he finally answers it. And I tell him what I'm calling about, and he goes, well, okay. And then he tells me the story, and by the end of the story, I'm on the floor because I'm laughing so hard. Because I'm just going to say the words blindfolded mule and leave it at that.
Let's look that one up.
Yeah. And when he gets done, I'm like, Roy, why hasn't anybody else written about this? Nobody ever asked me.
That's a great feeling as a writer to say, wait, somebody must have done this already. You can't find it. No. Oh, my God, I'm going to put this out.
Yeah. He didn't want to talk to me at first. He was very reluctant to talk to me because he said, I don't want you to make me out to be a hero. I'm not a hero. I said, Roy, I'm looking at you as a witness. You saw things nobody else saw, and if you don't tell me your story, nobody will know about it. And he said, okay, ask me your question.
Let me ask you, Craig, when – your tenure at the Times ended, and for a lot of people, didn't end all that happily. But that's a sign of the times.
I saw it coming.
Well, a lot of people did. I think.
You know, it was March 2020, right at the start of the pandemic. They're losing money, a hand over fist.
Yeah.
A year earlier, they had laid off a guy I thought was absolutely essential to the functioning of the newsroom. His name is Roy LeBlanc. Mm. He had been my editor. And he had been there longer than I had been, and they laid him off. And I was like, okay, if they laid off Roy, they can lay off anybody. Mm-hmm. I need to start planning for my future outside the Times.
Well, see, you're way ahead of me. I'm wondering. I mean, it's all happened to all of us at one time or another. I imagine it wasn't like, oh, my God, what am I going to do now? You were already planning because you figured
well,
it was coming.
And my wife went through something similar about 10 years before. She had worked at the Times, and then she wound up – you know, she's over at St. Anthony's now doing PR and much happier. And so I was sort of ready for it. And the funny part is because it was at the start of the pandemic, we weren't coming into the office anymore. So what happened was I was sitting in a waiting room at a car repair place and I got a phone call from an editor. Can we talk? I'm like, okay, here it comes.
So you had your ducks in a row, though. You had things set.
I had already started doing some freelance magazine pieces and things like that. And then about a month after my layoff, I got contacted by the folks at Florida Phoenix saying, could you come write a column for us?
You write weekly there?
I write once a week. I've been doing that since 2020.
Is Florida Phoenix online or is it print?
It's an online publication. Okay. And funded by grants and it's run by this thing called States Newsroom. And their goal is everywhere there's a state capital that used to have lots of newspaper coverage and doesn't anymore, that's where they try and go in and then establish a bureau. Mm. And the idea is somebody needs to cover what's going on in the state capitals. Which is they're absolutely right about that.
How often are you in Tallahassee?
Oh, not very often. Yeah. I do a lot of stuff by phone or I drive because I'm not writing about Tallahassee generally. Yeah. When the legislature's in session, I'll throw stones at them, but in between, I'm writing about other stuff. Like for instance, I did a piece on this town called Royal, mm-hmm. which most people have never heard of. It was founded by former slaves, and it was right in the path of the Northern Turnpike Extension, which the governor had signed off on, that they were going to build this big road right through the middle of this place full of former slaves and basically destroy their cemetery and two of their churches. And they were not happy. And so, you know, it was just a great story of, you know, this David and Goliath face off.
When did this happen?
Now, this is a couple of years ago. The person who was really pushing this was this very powerful developer named Carlos Baruff, who usually gets what he wants from state government. In this case, Royal won. So
it's still there.
It's still there. And the Northern Turnpike Extension so far has not happened, although it's one of those projects the DOT keeps bringing it up year after year after year after year.
Is it nice to have a kind of an endless curiosity about things?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I love asking questions.
Yeah, and
how do you feel about that?
I'm not biting that one, man. Well, you know, how does all this lead to Florida and the state you're in? I mean, you know, you're the great chronicle of all things weird, wacky, and bizarre in this state. Because environmental work is pretty serious stuff.
Well, sometimes. Like I said, you know, like I mentioned about the giant African land snails, you know.
Or the blindfolded mule. You got me right there.
Yeah. Okay. So I have to give credit to two people, Tom Zucco and Tom French, because they were my coworkers at the Times, and they used to do this thing every year called the Sour Orange Awards, which was this full page of wacky Florida stories that it would run every December 31st to say, here's our year in review of all the crazy stuff that happened in Florida. And then Tom French got busy with other stuff, and Zucco asked me, hey, can you help out? And I'm like, heck yeah, I'm happy to do it. So I started looking for crazy and collecting crazy stuff that happened in the year. And it was – I'm still doing it. You know, the Sour Orange Awards eventually went away, but I'm still here.
What are you working on now?
I got a new book coming out in 2025. It's another collection. So right now I'm calling it The State You're In 2, Electric Boogaloo. But the publisher may insist on changing it because they don't want people to get it confused with the last book.
Wait, tell me, compare and contrast, as they say. The State You're In, which, as you say, sold them zillions of copies.
Well, O Florida.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm in O Florida. Yeah, okay. Back up, Bill. I'm in O Florida, Dan.
O Florida, which was I did a blog for Slate in 2013 called O Florida. And the idea was that an editor who followed me on Twitter, as it was then known, called me up and said, the George Zimmerman trial's coming up, and we want someone to do a blog about Florida leading up to that and while that trial's going on, basically tell people there's more to Florida than what you're seeing in this courtroom. And I said, and how much time have I got? 30 days? Could I have till the end of the year?
So it's like that window opens for the rest of the world.
I made sure it was okay with my boss. And then I blogged about Florida for a month. And at the end of the month, the editor said, this is really good, and I hope you'll turn it into a book. And then about that time, an agent in New York contacted me and said, we think 2016 would be a great year for someone to put out a book about Florida, because, of course, every 4 years, the rest of the country gives Florida the side eye and wonders how we're going to screw it up. and we think you're the guy to write it. And so we put together a book proposal. The agent sent it around to a bunch of publishers. 15 of them said no. They could not possibly imagine why anybody would want to read about Florida from, you know, up in New York. And then one said yes, thank God. And they put it out, and it got a rave review in the New York Times and the Washington Post and the Los Angeles Times, and it made the New York Times bestseller list for all of a week.
Well, did you sort of wake up one day and say, oh, I'm the Florida man chronicler. I'm now the guy.
There are lots of people who chronicle weird stuff in Florida. There used to be regular blogs. There was a guy at, I think, T.C. Palm, whose blog was off the beat because he covered the cop beat and he'd write about stuff.
I worked for T.C. Palm for 5 years.
See, it is all about you.
Yeah.
Barbara Hijack, who was a –
You knew I was going to do that, and I knew you were going to do that.
Barbara Hijack, who was a librarian at the South Florida Sun Sentinel, she used to do a regular thing about, you know, crazy stuff in Florida. Those have kind of gone away now, but – That stuff's still there. It's still popping up on Reddit. There's a Florida thing on Reddit, a Florida subreddit, and FARC has a separate Florida tag. It's the only state with its own tag on FARC.com. There's crazy stuff. One of my favorite sources is villages.com. It's got so much great stuff in
there. Not going
there. Yeah. Yeah. You know, this is a true story. The legislature has approved a new villages commemorative plate. And my question is, so do you put that on your golf cart with the loofah, or what do you do with it?
Talk about shooting fish in a barrel. There's no end to it.
I will never run out of Florida stories to tell.
What was the guy in, what was it, Homosassa, you know, something about a samurai sword and a – okay, maybe
– Which one? Because, I mean, there are lots of samurai sword stories.
Something about a samurai sword in a pawn shop. And killed an intruder with a – oh, I don't know.
Could be.
Maybe that was Pulp Fiction.
I believe that was Pulp Fiction. So, Bruce Willis.
Bruce Willis, yeah. Zed's dead, man. So the state you're in, too, Electric Boogaloo, yeah. Tentative title, coming in 2025. You also have a newsletter now.
Yes, I do a weekly email newsletter called Oh Florida, the newsletter. Pretty clever, I think.
Yeah, good one.
And
go
it,
in there.
And it always includes the top five Oh Florida stories of the week, and I always have more than five to choose from. So when people tell you that other states are weird, I have to tell them, yes, weird things happen wherever you find humans because humans are weird. But there's more weird stuff that happens in Florida, and it tends to be weirder.
It's the gift that keeps on giving.
It is. It really is.
Craig Pittman, absolutely a delight to speak with you again.
Thanks for having me.
We'll keep listening out for Welcome to Florida, or WTF, which new one comes out every Tuesday, is on stbcatalyst.com. And I don't know. Thanks so much for coming.
My pleasure.
We'll see you again.
Okay.
From stbcatalyst.com.